Welcome to another faith-building message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. For more information about Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
Hey guys, I've got Chris, my wife, here with me. Just wanted to take a moment to talk about our Vision Builders, which is just about to come up in our church service.
Yeah.
And Chris, there's so many people who are tuning into our podcast, and I just wanted to make sure that everyone had the opportunity, if you've been blessed through this ministry, to be able to give and become part of this ministry, which is obviously not just touching Sydney, but reaching to the four corners of the earth, it seems. Somebody from Russia was sending us an offering just this last week, and they said, we've been so blessed by the tools and the teaching that we've been receiving, we wanted to give, and it wasn't unsubstantial either. They were seriously wanting to support and become partners with us.
It was wonderful. We want to get the word of God out across all the nations of the earth, and sometimes some nations just don't have access to, big local churches or ministries, and podcast is just the most amazing way with all the new technology to receive the word of God and to be a part of, of this ministry.
Exactly.
So it's very exciting. We want to thank you for all your support.
Yeah.
You know, I love that bit in the Bible where Jesus was about to do that first miracle, but he didn't know he was going to do a miracle. Nobody knew, but his mother said to the guys at the wedding, whatever he says to do to you, do that.
Do that.
And I love that, and I feel that that's the whole key to
best
giving.
Advice a mum could give anybody.
Exactly. And out
do whatever that, Jesus tells you.
Yeah, out of that obedience, a miracle happened.
Totally.
Of supply.
And we believe that everybody who gives to the Lord will never be cheated out of their reward, won't lose in any way. God is not trying to take from us. He's trying to bring blessing into our lives. And certainly giving is one of those ways that blessing doesn't just flow out of us, but flows to us.
Yeah, and it's part of our personality as a Christian.
Totally.
Generosity.
Exactly.
To him that is generous will more be given.
Exactly. In fact, I would think that generosity is possibly one of the first signs that you actually have become a Christian.
Yeah.
When Zacchaeus was converted, he had been a taker illegally and immorally from a lot of people, but as soon as he was converted, he became a giver.
Yeah, he did.
And he wanted to be a blessing to other people. And so it's a sign that Jesus is in our lives when we become givers. So we simply wanted to talk about that area so that you might feel, if you are able to and if you're inclined to send an offering and to become partners with us and to become part of the support system right around the world that is getting this message and the Word of God out to so many millions of people. So I wanted to encourage you to give. Please go to myc3church.net and you'll find all the instructions for that on there. Lord Jesus, help me today to share this word and to articulate with my mouth the feelings I've got in my heart. Amen. Why don't you all stand up just to read the scripture with me this morning. Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Father, anoint this word to us this morning and touch thousands of people with this message of momentum so that we can keep ourselves unstuck and moving forward in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm glad I'm sitting next to you. Thank you very much, Ryan. Good. The sacred M, momentum. It's so powerful. When you've got momentum, it doesn't matter what you do, it looks good. It seems to work. You can do one of the dumbest things and it still works. When you haven't got momentum, you can do your best thing and nothing works. And all of us have an urge within us as the part of the human condition to keep moving forward, to progress. We get deeply frustrated if somebody isn't progressing in front of us, like the person at the lights. When you are seeing, it's amber, we can get through this. But they're in front of you and they say, no, I can't make it. I say, of course you can. And I'm right up near their end. Then they stop. And you go tap, 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 tap. Because we want to keep moving, we want to take ground, we want to increase, we want to expand. And it's called momentum. And one of the most terrible things that can happen into people's lives is when they're not employed and they're treading ground, feeling they're not accomplishing anything, nothing meaningful is happening in their life. That is one of the most soul-destroying experiences anybody can have. And so to actually get momentum going is extremely important. All through the Bible, God is bringing instruction and motivation to keep people moving. And one of the greatest ways you and I can keep ourselves moving and motivated is to do it together. Not just about, most people go to a seminar to know how to get personally and individually motivated, but you know what? God is calling us as an entire congregation to be motivated with momentum and to keep ourselves moving forward. And so that's why there are so many let us's in the whole scripture. And there are a lot of let's go, let us go. Let us go on to perfection. Let us go on into Christ. Let us go. And go is a big word. It's two-thirds of God's name, for goodness sake. And so there's a lot of go about God. He is saying, I am involved in wanting to keep you traveling forward so that at the end of this year, you'll be higher, further, deeper, enlarged and expanded. And you'll be able to look back and say, wow, I have grown. And the Bible talks about growth in so many ways. I want you to grow up into Christ. We want you to put away childish things and become adults. We want the whole body to grow together. And we go from glory to glory and transformed by the Spirit of the Lord. So there's this sense of continual movement. In fact, when they're in the land of, when they're on their way to the land of Canaan, the cloud just would be moving all the time. They moved about 40 times in 40 years. Imagine living in 40 different homes in 40 years. But they moved together as 3 million people around a desert, and that cloud just kept them mobile because God wanted a generation of pilgrims, a generation of mobile people who wanted to keep moving to take and possess their land and not to settle down prematurely and say, I'm comfortable here. Some of them did, much to their chagrin at later times. But Joshua, he said, at 80 years old, I've got momentum. Let me keep taking this land. I'm off. You know, I want to take that mountain. I want to do this. I want to take that. And so momentum became a big part of Israel's history and part of the New Testament church. You'll find that just about everybody who got filled with the Holy Spirit in the New Testament went somewhere. And they kept themselves moving, whether it was to their own city in Jerusalem or to the cities around them. There was a sense of action and mobility. And when you're alive in Christ, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's activity in your world. With this one, Psalm 122, I love this verse. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. This is one of 15 Psalms, starting at Psalm 120, going all the way to Psalm 135. They're called Psalms of Ascents, means songs that take you up. And all of them are filled with faith and hope and joy. It's about when they came out of Babylon. Remember, we talked about that last week. Coming out of Babylon, and they were going back to Jerusalem. And this psalmist is saying, I was glad when they said, let's get out of here. Let's get back to the house of God. I was glad when they said to me, we're out, we're going. We're going to get some momentum. We've been stuck in this Babylon place for too long, for 70 years. Let's go to the house. I was glad when they said to me. Now, sometimes, you know, we think, oh, I'm not sure if I can be a bringer. I don't want to try and bring people all on my own to church. Well, you don't have to. I was glad when they, the whole Connect group said, let's go together. And it's so much easier to go with someone else to something else rather than just to go on your own. Girls are a lot better at this than guys. I come to the women's conference. There's hardly any cars in the car park. I walk in here, the place is full. And I say to Chris before I go, no, I'm sad about how many cars. She says, don't worry. And we walk in, because girls pick each other up on the way to church. They don't want to turn up on their own. Like when you go to a restaurant, you're sitting there and one girl says, oh, I'm going to go to the restroom. Girls, you want to come? And they all go. Right? I've tried that with the guys. It don't work. See? Hey, guys. No, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. You're weird, man. You're like, whatever. We come to a men's conference. There are cars everywhere. And like half the number of men on the inside. Some guys will just tow an empty car behind them to show how many cars they got. I'm not picking anybody up. I'll bring my cars. I was glad when they said to me, let us go. They didn't say to me, go to church. They said, let us go to the house of the Lord. When we were starting our first church in Lyttelton in New Zealand, we had like three people and two dogs and one cat in the congregation. We counted everything, even the flies on the wall. We said, you know, yeah, we had 33 legs in church this morning, amen. We were doing anything and we reached out to our neighbors and managed to win our neighbors on our left to the Lord. And well, the kids anyway, John and Una. And they were Scottish people. And so we took a while to translate and interpret and understand one another, but we got there and he received Jesus. But he was a real grumpy brother. He was just so upset with everything and he couldn't get over this anger on the inside. And so he just, some days just would not, he just refused to go to church. Chris and I, we would leave people with no excuses as to why, you know, like you need to be in the house. And so I remember driving up one day right outside his front door, because you could bring your car up that front. It was a very small house. Walked in and he's still in bed. And we said, John, get out of bed. You got to go to church. You've been saved now. You've been coming to Jesus. You come to Jesus like 6 weeks ago. He said, I don't want to go to church. You know, real grumpy, demonized. And I said, no, you get, I said, why can't you go to church? You haven't got a shirt. So here's a shirt. He says, not ironed. And so Chris got out the ironing board. You got an iron shirt now. Get your butt down to church. Amen. He got to be a follower of Jesus. But it didn't just happen straight away. And it didn't just happen because he asked Christ into his life. It took a little lifestyle change. It took a little time for that new habits to become healthy habits in his life and to get his spiritual quality of life moving forward. Now, there is a guy in the New Testament in 3 John 2. John is writing to his good friend Gaius, and he says, I am praying that you would enjoy health and great circumstances just like your soul is. So he was saying your outward life circumstances are going to reflect what's happening on the inside of you. And this is an important principle to understand, that your outside world is going to be reflecting what's going on the inside of your life. We need to, most of us meet Jesus in a crisis. Before that, we thought, oh, I'm okay, I don't need God. And then suddenly our world is falling apart. Oh, God, I need you. I better go down there and ask Jesus in my life. And we're out of a crisis, we meet the Lord. But we've got to move on from having a crisis relationship with God. Otherwise, we're forever going to be having crises just to get us back into the right place. We need to progress into a relationship with Jesus that's healthy and normal and not just depending on need or even dreams. So let me show you something on the big board here about the tracking of what happens in our life when we are following Jesus. Okay, so we've got this crisis going on and we think, oh Lord, I better get my life together with God. And so we start to pray and our spiritual life goes up and we start to pray. We're in church, we're worshiping and we're doing all the right things. But you know, there's a deception that can happen here, because our circumstances have got momentum in the negative and they start going down. But eventually they will bounce because of this here, this blue line that's ascending, and then our circumstances start to follow. Now there is a lag between you getting things right spiritually and things coming together physically around your world. That lag might be a week, it might be a month, it might be a year, it might be 5 years. But if you remain faithful in that spiritual pursuit, and don't be looking at your circumstances, but be getting encouraged by following Jesus, it's because he's Jesus, not because he's doing any much for you, it seems. Eventually that is going to turn around. Now, here's what happens though, and it happens all through the history of Israel and all through the history of humanity, and even in the history of the church. When we start to see things rising and going up, we get complacent and we go, oh, wow, things are going well again. Gee, I don't need to pray so much. Oh, tithing, well, you know, I probably could do with a bit of that money myself. And then I don't need to go to church. You know, I just think I'll pan out a little bit. Don't need to really serve the Lord, get involved in that. I miss doing that. Yeah, woo, party on. And so we're going down. We're sliding in the wrong direction. Now, here's the deception. Our circumstances have got momentum and they keep going up. And we think, whoa, I'm still making more money even though I'm going backwards down my spiritual life. Things are going huge for me. Oh, I got a new job. Everything's going well. I'm still reaping the benefit of an improved spiritual life. But then eventually, the blue line's going to hit me. And whoops, oh, lost my job. Oh, didn't get a bonus. Oh, marriage is in trouble. Oh, God. So then we think, oh, boy, I better get in touch with God again. So we go, oh, we go up like this. However, even though we're doing that, even though we're looking for things to happen and go change, they don't. We got momentum in the negative. And we think, hey, I'm seeking God and nothing's happening to me. I'm going up. Isn't that, anybody relate? No, I know none of you relate to that. But here's the thing. You don't want a life that looks like that. What we need is for when we get up to this point up the top here, that we actually get ourselves going. I've got to get the white one going. We get ourselves regularly holding that position so that we're just constant in keeping prayer alive. No matter what is going up and down in our world, that we've got our life in a consistent, steadfast level of momentum. In Jesus' name, amen. God is wanting you to experience momentum in your world and in the world of your family. Psalm 115 verse 14 says, may the Lord give you increase. Not just now, just one big blow up of increase, more and more. May he give you increase and then give you more and then give you more. And he is saying that that's going to happen if your spiritual quality of life is kept at a premium and you are seeking after God. Those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Circumstances will start to turn around. And then he says, you give you increase more and more, you and your children. So once you start momentum, it's amazing how the velocity of that just keeps on rolling. To get it going, to get the kickstart though, it takes an enormous amount of effort. It takes 95% of a rocket's fuel just to get out of Earth's gravity. There are things trying to hold you down, trying to pull you back, trying to keep you from going anywhere. And when you give it your best shot, like a week of fasting, a week of prayer, and you just pay a price and you do the sacrifice, boom, you get into orbit. And once you're in orbit, it doesn't take a lot to keep that momentum going. Only 5% of the fuel's left, but that's all they need. It takes half the tank on an airplane to get off that runway up to a 35,000 feet because the air's thinner. They're able to use less fuel and travel at enormous speeds. And that is you. That is your life. Just to get ourselves out of inertia, out of being stuck, can be a major level of effort, but you can do it. You know, I don't know if you've heard of a guy called Malcolm Gladwell. He's written a number of books. He's a brilliant writer, has a lot of research and insight, and he It's like a myth buster of a lot of belief systems, like success, how does success happen? So he studied the success of several different people, and he discovered that there was a consistent factor in a lot of them, and that is that they had put in 10,000 hours before they had this day of success and breakthrough. The Beatles, arguably the most influential music group in the history of the world, they, for 4 years, every night performed for 8 hours in Hamburg, Germany, together playing other people's songs before they even got a break. But they'd learned to groove together, write together, sing together, all of that. But it was like 10,000 hours. There'd be a lot of bands today that do an entire career and don't even do 2,000 hours. But 10,000 hours of just hard work, the thrust of getting that rocket off the ground. Bill Gates spent, they say 10,000 hours, he estimated 10,000 hours working sometimes 20 hours a day writing Microsoft disk operating system, and then was clever in contracting it to all the computer makers so that it just seemed like when you got a computer, you got MS-DOS. You thought that was all there ever was until some other people developed some operating systems. But the fact is, before he did that, writing that operating system took him that long. Sun Systems, all these guys, they gave it their best shot. When you get that momentum, you cannot afford to assume it's going to stay without any attention at all. I mean, how many of you here this morning have got a Nokia phone? Maybe one or two, I don't know. Some of you don't even know what that is. How many of you are on MySpace? Whatever happened to MySpace? Like Facebook, MySpace, it used to be a choice. You don't even know, some of you, what MySpace is. Well, they were the major competitor for Facebook, but Facebook's just roared ahead. Anybody remember Encarta? Netscape? I mean, my Lord. Along came Wikipedia. Along came these other. I mean, they had momentum at one stage. Gone. Disappeared. When you have it, treat it as sacred. Wherever you've got a flame in your life, learn how to pour petrol on it. Wherever you've got a tree, learn how to pour water on it that's growing. Whatever's working, look after it, nurture it, because these things can start to lose momentum and die. And then to get it started again can take so much effort, which you don't even need to actually get involved in if you treat it as sacred in your life. Momentum is just not going to stay because you've got it going. Now listen, when you set up your momentum, you can have negative momentum or positive. If I go down to Grand Central Station and I want to go to Brisbane on the train, let's switch this around. I want to go to Melbourne on the train, but I really want to go to Brisbane. This gets difficult, doesn't it? You know, like somebody saying, why would you want, you know. But if I want to go to Brisbane, but I'm on a train that's taking me to Melbourne, do you know where I'm going to end up? Not where I want to go, not where my dream is, not even where my vision is or my goal. I'm going to end up in Melbourne. My dream is Brisbane. My reality is Melbourne. I want to go to Blessing, but the train of my thought is always going towards failure, towards negativity. I want to go to health, but I'm always thinking about cancer. I want to go to see growth and expansion, but I can only see in the future negative declension and things getting smaller. We go in the direction of our thought. You're moving in the direction of your dominant thought. Your thoughts are a heat-seeking missile. They've locked on to a target. Here's the beautiful thing. You can control your thoughts. You can control what you meditate on, especially when you come into Scripture and you spend time with God. He'll put an image in your mind. One of the most powerful things I know of is an image that God has given you from heaven about yourself, about your future. And when I've seen that, I resummon that to my thinking and I meditate on it. And I inject faith into it and I say all things are possible with God, because when I first see that image, it's like, how could that ever happen? I can't see that ever happen. But then I start to say, my God, nothing's impossible with Him. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Amen. I sing one of those songs that we've been worshiping with during the week and I feel faith rising and I think, I'm going to get momentum in the direction that my desire is, so I'm going to align the train of my thinking of with my dream. You get more of what you already have, and you move in the direction of your focus. When you start momentum, my Lord, you and your children, it's going to go beyond your own life. John Wesley started something 200 years ago, and we still see the results of it around the world. The Martin Luther, the Reformation in 1500 starts this huge thing that is still being felt right around the world. Greater than them all, Jesus Christ started something in just, we've only got 30 days of preaching recorded in the Gospels, 30 days of ministry. How could such a small exposure to the world have such an enormous influence and last for so long and have so much momentum in it? I mean, it is like a miracle, but there you see the unbelievable power of positive momentum. There are like nearly 3 billion people who have accepted Jesus Christ into their life are on the planet today, who are living for Christ. And that number is only going to keep increasing and increasing. There's about 1 billion people just like yourself here, worshiping God, hands lifted, speaking in heavenly languages, believing in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, living for Christ, on fire for God. At the turn of last century, there were like 10,000 of you. In just 117 years, to go from 10,000 to over 1 billion in 100 years. Some of us have been nearly alive that long. It's like, wow, that's called momentum. The greatest momentum you'll get from anywhere is from the Holy Spirit. When He's living on the inside of you, you'll find there's an engine in there that's going to keep you motivated and keep you moving. This is why it's so important not to grieve Him by doing stuff that's offensive to God, or quench Him by shutting Him down because you want to do something else. Let the Holy Spirit rule your life and you'll be one of the most liberated, joyful, powerful people in your community without any shadow of a doubt. Let's go. Amen. I love this. Love talking about moving forward and seeing a whole new world start up for every one of us. So getting started is making that big decision. I'm going to talk about more about this next week, but taking that big step can be a challenge. I want to take you to a story in the book of Mark, which is one of the great stories that we all know about. Mark 2:3 says, "Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by 4 men. And when they could not come near him, Jesus, because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was, so when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When he comes before Jesus, Jesus says, 'Man, your sins are forgiven you.'" This is a guy who has no momentum at all. He is stuck. He is paralyzed. I've read stories of people who refused to forgive somebody who had wounded them. And they found that their ability to speak was shut down. They became dumb, what is known as, or mute. And so they find that they have got inability, and this isn't the reason why every time, why people have this condition, obviously. And they ended up in a psychiatric hospital, and a minister started to minister to some of these inmates, people who were, you know, residents there. And talking to this person, got the feeling that he might need to forgive someone. So he led him in the prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And when he got to the, and he, obviously he wasn't saying anything, he was just saying, "Say this in your mind after me. Forgive me my sins as I forgive those who sin against me." And it became his big aha moment. And in his heart, he realized that his condition is because he is unforgiving. And he, in his heart, said, "I forgive the man." Immediately, he could speak. Immediately, he was healed. You'd be surprised at to what level of bondage unforgiveness can hold on us. Jesus says to this man, you're forgiven. The word forgive comes from a Greek word, luo, means to set free like an animal that has been bound. And so suddenly, this man who's been stuck can walk. Guilt will paralyze you. It makes you feel you're unworthy of anything. It makes you feel like you've got to pay for the things in the past. It makes you feel like, who would want me? And you feel like you've cheated on yourself. And so you think if you punish yourself, that's going to atone somehow for what you've done. But I got good news for you. Somebody's carried you here today. These four men carried a paralyzed man into the house and put him before Jesus, and Jesus didn't condemn him. He says, son, I know you got sins. He knows we've all got some faults and some wrongs. He says, I know you've done wrong, but hey, I forgive you. You're pardoned. You're okay. Immediately he is set free. Everybody criticized Jesus, said, hey, who can do that except God? He said, they didn't realize he was God, but he says, what's the difference? I say, stand up and walk or be forgiven. Same deal for this guy. He's going to get set free by forgiveness. And one of the greatest things that'll keep you stuck in your past is not letting go what has happened, whether to you or by you. But here today, if you can say, Lord, I forgive everybody, everything they've ever done to me, and I receive forgiveness from you, and force your brain to accept it and say, here today, I'm a forgiven person in Jesus' name. You'll find yourself liberated and getting a momentum like you've never known in your life before. Just as I come to a close, I want to ask you here this morning, if you've never received that sense of forgiveness, in a couple of moments, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Jesus will come into your life and you'll be set free. You'll know what it is to be born again. If you've never prayed a prayer saying, Jesus, come into my life, in a couple of moments, when I ask, I want you to raise your hand. Or if you've been away from God, I want you to come back at the start of this year. Come on, come back. Get fresh, positive momentum in your life moving into 2017. If you're just not sure you're going to heaven, please, when I ask, also raise your hand. So let's close our eyes right across this hall. And if this is you, this is all I'm going to ask you to do, then I'm going to pray for you. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, if that's you right here, right now, if you've never done that, never prayed a prayer saying, Jesus, come into my life, or if you've been away from God, or you're just not sure you're going to heaven, if that's you, you've never said that prayer, you're coming back to God right now, my friend, wherever you are, put your hand up for me. Put it up high and say, that's me. I want to make sure I'm going to heaven today. I want to have Christ in my life. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Who else is there? Thank you, lady. I see your hand. Who else is there? Would you raise your hand? Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Who else is there? Just raise your hand. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. God bless you. Who else is there? I'll wait another couple seconds for you. We got time. If there's one more, thank you. Up the back. I see your hand. God bless you. Thank you, young lady. In Jesus' name. Lord, touch all these lives. Touch these hearts. Touch these lives. I'm so happy for this young lady down here. Anybody else? I'm going to wait another 10 seconds and then I'm going to pray. If there's one more person, you're unsure about going to heaven, you've been away from God, or you need to come back to Christ, or you just have never prayed that prayer asking Jesus to come into your life. Wherever you are, put your hand up high now and say, that's me. I've got to make, thank you, young man. I see your hand. God bless you. Anybody else at all? If there's one more person, thank you, Father. Can we all stand? And we're going to pray this prayer together as we come to a close. Would everybody say these words? Dear God in heaven, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Cleanse my heart. Forgive me. I forgive everyone, everything they've ever done to me. I receive you as my Savior, my friend, and my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering, would you?
Thanks for listening. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions that you have made and the great things that God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.